This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello, Oketa, and welcome to another week of Neat and Footy, the place where we chat all things Pacifica talent in the rugby league and rugby union world. My name's Sam Wykes, and alongside me is the sand dune specialist, Tinirau Arona. T, you weren't there last week, but you are very good.
Kia ora, Sammy. Yes, I was busy working. Wish I was there.
Solid session.
As you can tell from my voice, it's been a big weekend. We held a conference over the weekend for the RLPA, which was pretty cool. And to add a little bit of Pacific flavor to that, so I'll share a little bit more on that shortly. Huge show coming up. We have Shelley Long, our women's footy expert. They'll be sharing all the news in the women's footy. And also, I've got a little surprise for you with our segment, Culture Shock.
Ooh, okay. Surprise.
And then, I don't know how you managed to get this bloke on, one of the biggest names in Fiji footy. You've brought him on Nijin footy. Tell us how you got him on the show.
Well, you know, I'm a big deal in Fiji. Remember when you went around to all the boys and girls over there and you asked them who this person was, and who did they say? Did they say it was me or no?
Sarah.
They thought I was Sarah. Awesome. But yes, Mick Byrne, he's jumping on. We had to pre-record this one because he was obviously getting ready for his season, and so we managed to get him a couple of weeks ago. But he is loved by so many Fijians. He's the coach of the Fijian Drua team. They've been in for 3 years now. But he's actually got an AFL background. He's also been a specialist attack coach and skills coach for the All Blacks, the Wallabies and Scotland before heading to Fiji. And I'm looking forward to chatting to him because I think there's going to be a few topics around where they've progressed from year one to where they are now and, you know, where he's expecting them to be in the next couple of years.
Moment of the week.
Sammy, you're not only Fijian, you're also Tongan, and there's some huge noise coming out of the Tongan camp. Talk to me, brother.
Right, I do cover a lot of markets. You know, some people think I'm Lebanese, Maori, Spanish.
Uncle Bully.
Uncle Bully. Yeah. No, not him, but his characters that he plays. Oh, mate, he's a good actor. I really love him. Really love that fellow. But anyway, let's move on. Yes, the moment of the week. Well, I'm not sure if you remember last year, there was a Tongan under-16s rugby league team toured to Sydney. They played against Manly and the West Tigers development teams. The majority of that team, even the staff, it was actually their first time on a plane. And so after those games, one of the outcomes that they wanted to achieve from it was to get some of those boys into pathways and have opportunities from Tonga and bring them over to Australia. And that's come to fruition.
So was this that team with that big kid that
you're
talking about?
Yeah, that massive kid. He was, I think he was 12 and he was just bigger
than you, yeah.
No, he was under 16s. But one of them, yes, Aleki Sio Siale and Epa Noa have been picked up by a school in North Queensland and now will join the Cowboys Academy system. So they'll have a two-year, year 11 and 12 with the school and also train with the Cowboys in their development system, their academy program. And hopefully we are seeing the next Jason Taumalolo in Cowboys colours.
So 16 years old, leaving Tonga, moving to Townsville.
Yep.
Doing year 11 and 12, and they've also joined the North Queensland Cowboys system.
Yep, exactly. So what we need to do, hopefully we can either get Shelley or yourself being, you know, a prominent member in the rugby league community, we need to get them on the show. Probably we'll give them 12 months or 6 months, depending.
Give me 12 months, I'll get one of them on the show.
Oh,
that's a challenge.
There's a challenge.
Because I'll be making up for this surprise I have for you later.
I'll see where this is going. But how good's that? We talk about pathway opportunities, being seen, something as small as that tour in some people's eyes, but it's a massive opportunity from people from the Pacific being able to come over and hopefully be able to change not only their lives, but their families' lives as well.
No, that's awesome news, you know, to see our Pacific brothers winning and, you know, getting these opportunities. That's what it's all about. Great work.
Hello, for lover. This is Levi Milford from the Samoa Sevens, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
Are we going on rugby union?
Yeah. Well, let's stick to rugby union. Give me a bit of time.
Yes, that's 3 weeks in a row. Yeah, perfect.
Only because rugby league starts next week with the All Stars. Once footy starts,
doesn't it?
Yeah, you're back of the bus, mate.
Oh, well,
so
I better
take your time. Take your time.
Perfect. Well, rugby is back. Well, sort of. It's the teams have had their first trial games, first hit out. And there were some interesting results there. I feel like the Brumbies and the draw game, 43-40, very high scoring. Would you believe it, T, if I told you that Fiji have unearthed another Fijian winger, like an outstanding
another
athlete,
one.
Another one. And another one.
Where do they find these blokes?
I don't know. It feels like they are just kicking rocks over and they're finding them underneath there somewhere. It's unbelievable. Daniela Rakuro, he made his debut last year against Moana Pacifica. With the week he had, signed a short-term contract at the beginning of the week, then ended up signing a full contract midweek, flew over to New Zealand for the very first time, been on a plane, scores the winning try against Moana Pacifica last year. And now in this trial game, two touches, two long-range tries. Like, turnover attack, he's got the ball. He's gassed the Brumbies winger, took him on the outside. The Brumbies winger thought he had him. He was going to cover him. See you later, he's clutching at straws. Goes over and scores. Then he hits another outstanding line for his second try. Bumps off their number 13, the Brumbies number 13. Holds his feet, gets a right-hand fend and scores again. He was outstanding in that game. And it'll be interesting when we speak to Mick Byrne, because I asked him about their weights program, what they've been doing, because when Daniela played last year, he was a lot skinnier but still raw. But looking at him, he's obviously looked at a few weights, looked at the bench press, looked at the squat rack. He's got on there. He's put on some size and he moves so well. He looks like Rupeni Thaouthau. He's got that aura about him and I just think I'm...
Do you know how old he is?
I wish I had... Stop asking me questions I don't know.
Sorry, mate.
Nah, he's young.
I'm only thinking this is his second year. Or leading into his second year and you've already seen the growth, you know, after a few months, so... Imagine the potential this bloke has.
Yeah, exactly. So that was impressive. And then as well, remember Isaiah Armstrong that we had on the show, the young 5'8 that we interviewed? T, do you remember that or no?
Yeah, Isaiah.
Yeah, thanks, mate. All right, he got his first taste in drawer colours as well, came off the bench, and he is all class. Don't be surprised if he doesn't start, or I think if he becomes a regular starter throughout the year.
This is the kid from...
Your memory's coming back, is it?
Yeah,
Richard Moanga's nephew.
Yeah, and he played in the youth
Fiji under 20s. Yeah, so I think that's good signs for the draw. And Daniela Rakuro is only 23. In other news, we had the Highlanders 36 beat Moana Pacifica 36-28. James Lay is their new captain. He's represented Manu Samoa and he takes over from Sekope Kepu and Christian Lili'ifanu, who are still playing, but he takes the C next to his name. The Force beat the Reds 21-19. But the Blues, they actually went over to Tokyo to play against Suntory over there. They won that game. And then the Wild Knights, this is a big one, Robbie Deane's Wild Knights. Robbie Deane's former Wallabies coach, his team over there beat the Chiefs.
Wow.
38-14, which that's a big result over there where they played. And the Rebels, they made light work of the Tars 38-12. But just on the Rebels.
They're not in the comp next year.
Well, that's what I'm going to get to. The Rebels have gone into voluntary administration, so their financials aren't up to scratch. Rugby Australia have insured the Rebels for both Super Rugby and Super W. They'll be playing in the 2024 competition. But beyond that, there's no guarantee, depending what they find. With the independent people reviewing their financial status there and what's happening for the Melbourne Rebels. If we look at their coaches and their players, I could be wrong here, but it's most people have been saying there's no one contracted past 2025 anyway. And you can bet 1,000% with the noise that's gone around that anyone who's off contract this year they'll be leaving. They'll be leaving. And another piece of this puzzle is that the Melbourne Rebels, they have one of the largest representations of Pacifica players. You know, with Rob Leota, their captain, Samoan heritage, Moana Leilua, who looks after their player development and welfare down at Melbourne. She's Samoan as well. She's helped foster a lot of those young Pacifica players coming through the system to make sure that they, you know, are performing with high-performing habits and making sure that they get that cultural piece right down there to make sure that it transfers to the professional game. Yeah, as well as Rob Leota, there's other big names down there like Daniela, the Tongan Thor, Dubol, he's down there. He's just signed a two-year deal down there. Alex Murphy, you've got Sam Talakai, you've got Pone, big Pone for Mausili. Like, there's some massive names that are playing down at the Melbourne Rebels at the moment that will most likely be looking for a new home in Super Rugby or most likely
heading overseas.
So I'm not sure what the play is for the Melbourne Rebels. You know, there's a lot of noise around rugby in Australia saying that five teams is too many, but in saying that too, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to keep the talent here in Australia if there's no more Melbourne Rebels, because overseas will be so appealing for some of those players. There'll be some big money offers,
big cash
put in front of those players. So it'll be an interesting space to be looking at in the next 6 months to see where the Melbourne Rebels land.
It's Nij and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona.
Samuel, it was a quiet news in the NRL world, but I did manage to find a few points of information and news in the rugby league land. There's a new team called Pacific Trays. Now, they're made up of under 17 athletes from New Caledonia, Vanuatu and Wallace Fortuna. They're playing some games in North Queensland against Mackay Cutters on the weekend, Townsville Blackhawks and also Northern Pride this week. They're looking to one day join the QRL, like the PNG Hunters in the Queensland Cup.
So hang on. So Pacific Trays,
which is translated to Pacific 13.
The number 13. So obviously New Caledonia, Wallace and Fortuna, French Polynesia. It's very interesting. Do you know why as well? Wallace and Fortuna, they make up a lot of the French rugby team.
There you go. So there'll be some stacked forwards in that team.
There's some really good players out of there. So it seems like rugby league have noticed that and
trying to create that pathway.
Yeah, for them in rugby league. Okay, interesting.
Just the brothers at Tonga.
Yep, exactly. So, okay, I'm looking forward to seeing how that unfolds.
It'll be, interesting. Also, Raymond Faitala-Mariner off to the Dragons. So he gets his release from the Bulldogs and now he's joining the Red V. Yeah, all the best to Raymond. I know him. He's a great bloke. And I think he's going there with over 100 NRL games, also represented the Kiwis and Samoa. So he's definitely going to add some value to St. George Dragons. But he also mentioned the opportunity arose and he spoke to his partner and parents and they said maybe it's the change that you needed or that you're looking for. And Ray quotes, "Now that I was in camp with the Dragons this week, I can see why change was needed." So, it's going to be cool to be able to see Raymond be able to be himself at the Dragons.
Yeah, I like that he's going to the Dragons. Do you know why? Because I live in the Belmore area, like Canterbury Bankstown area. Sometimes when I wear my hair like a top knot, people think I'm Ray when I walk around.
That makes sense. So that does make sense.
I had a bulldog singlet, so I used to wear it around because I am a fan of the doggies. And then people come up to me and go, "Hey, shouldn't you be at training?" It's like, "Oh, you've got the wrong bloke, mate. He's better looking than me." So it's now he can go there and I can make that distinction.
So you got Raymond, Krusty, and Uncle Bully. What a list, man.
Stop using Uncle Bully.
All right. Over at Rugby League Socials this week, we've seen the South Sydney Rabbitohs in their army camp. Got a bit of audio here for you to listen
brings
to.
Brings back bad memories.
Away down. Up, way up.
Good.
Away down.
Good.
Away up.
Good.
Away down. Away up.
Stand up. Everyone. Down.
Your feet.
They make me happy that I'm retired when you listen to that audio.
Oh, army camps. There's no place. I don't care how tough you want to make the players. For me, there's no place for army camps in professional sport.
Also, over the Broncos, they had one of the world's biggest athletes, biggest stars, Tom Brady. And he threw a nice, what do they call it? A nice pearl pass to Reese Walsh.
What was it? I couldn't hear. Whatever you want, on hut. You ready? Say hut.
Man, imagine that, catching the ball off Tom Brady, one of the greatest, if not the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history.
I tried to get him on Nation Footy too. I reached out to his people.
Just wasn't the right time in a Queensland time. Yeah. He was keen to come on though. But yeah, leading to the RLPA Leaders and League Conference, you can see a bit of footage of that on our Instagram page. But man, what a weekend. It was a weekend where the RLPA, we put on this conference for our leaders within our game, both NRL and NRLW, and also emerging leaders. The cool thing about this one is that myself and Sia Soliola, Joe Nullivell, have recently joined the RLPA, so we brought a little bit of Pacific flavor to the conference, and I got my son's Haka Warriors group to perform to open up the ceremony. I just had that proud moment as a father, and also to be able to see the NRLW and NRL players' faces while they were performing was pretty special. Another moment for me during that weekend, though, was there's a young player that he made his debut for the New Zealand Warriors last year. His name is Dimitrik Sifakula. Now, he's an emerging leader at the Warriors, and he was tipped up from their coach, Andrew Webster. He said, I reckon that this kid will take a lot out of these camps. So he ended up sending Dimitrik with Kurt Capewell to the conference. And to be out, you know, when Islanders go into a room full of people and pretty quiet,
yep.
You know, pretty, I messaged him before. I said, how are you feeling? He goes, oh, I'm pretty nervous. I told him, I said, look, you'll enjoy it. Come with, open mind. We'll look after you. So I noticed him as soon as he walked in, quiet kid. By the end of the camp, man, he was getting amongst it, you know, laughing with everyone. Really took a lot. I spoke to him after, and he took a lot out of being there, a lot out of being at the conference and having those leadership qualities to take back to his club as well. So, Dimitrik Sifakula, look out for this young kid.
Is he Tongan?
He is Niuean, Tongan, and Samoan.
Oh, wow. Okay. And sorry, just to go on the leadership stuff. So, you put that on to help with their leadership skills? Like, was it? Is that what it was about, or
yeah, so
what you guys are doing to help them become better leaders or what in the game? So
So the theme is leadership and connection. So we put on workshops for our emerging and current leaders to be able to learn and take tools from this conference to take back to their NRL clubs. Now we had Joel Selwood. He's an AFL legend.
AFL, yep.
He's meant to be the Cameron Smith of the AFL game if you don't watch AFL. And a couple others. So we had a female athlete panel with Dan Hasler that works for the Penrith Panthers. He actually was really good at the way that he helped the players to manage different situations and just gave them tools to be able to take back to their clubs. And we also had Cooper Chapman, an ex-pro surfer, and he shared a workshop on the last day, which was pretty cool to listen to. Some of the Nijin players that were there, Valentine Holmes and Helam Luki from the Cowboys, Felice Kafusi from the Dolphins, Dimitrik Sifakula, and we also had Joseph Tapine and Corey Harawira-Naira from the Raiders, and also Toa Fofoa Sipley from Eagles, and a number of NRLW Nijin athletes, Tiana Penitani and our very own Shelley Long.
Before we get to Shelley, which is good that Shelley was there, she could fact check what you actually did there. I love when she goes to the same events as you, just to see if it's not a working holiday or not. But again, I'm not going to always ask you to be working for Nijin Footy every time you do your RLPA. Chances of getting any of those people on the show?
Yeah, I reckon I can get Helam on.
Yeah?
He'll be a Helam Luki. Yeah, he'll be a, he just made his Tor Samoa debut. Emerging leader at the Cowboys.
Nice, T.
My name is Dan Lil, former Samoa player. I'm here on Nisian Footy with T and Sam here. I love your work and God bless you all.
Joining us each week, sharing all the women's footy news, we have our PNG Orchid star and North Queensland Cowboy in the NRLW, Shelley Long, on The Long Story Short.
The Long Story Short with Shelley Long.
How is life, Shelley? I know I only seen you a couple of days ago. Tell everyone how cool the weekend was.
Oh, it was honestly such a great weekend. We joined several other people within the NRL and NRLW for the Leaders in League conference. It was definitely an eye-opener and something that I have walked away with and reflected on. A lot of people with a lot of knowledge, I think, were in that room, and it was really great to learn from and to be a part of. I know for myself, I certainly walked out of a lot of those sessions that we did, a lot of those talks, and spoke with other players who were involved in that conference. And we discussed a lot of things that probably we wouldn't have thought about outside of that conference. I think as players, we get quite focused on what we're doing in our own lives, and we don't take that time to really reflect on what it is that makes us leaders, or what it is that makes us NRL and NRLW players, and the positions where we're fortunate enough to be in.
Yes, my words did not do it justice, and that's why I asked her the question.
But speaking of those people, the knowledgeable people, the influential people, was T one of those people in that room?
He actually was. But last night we had actual great conversation around women within the Pacific Islands and what it means for them to play rugby league. You know, we spoke to I personally spoke to Tiana Penatani about the issue, and I hadn't actually understood what it was like for other women from other Pacific nations. I only really understood what it was like to be a PNG woman coming through and playing rugby league. And to hear those words from Tiana, proud Tongan woman, it really inspired me and I guess helped motivate me. Jumping on here is definitely a way that I can help, you know, share those issues and things that we want to change.
Beautiful. Cool. What was your favourite thing that you took away from the weekend?
One of my favourite things would have been, what do I want to be remembered for? I think that question really, really stood with me. And I think as a woman playing in the NRLW and playing for my country, probably prior to that question, I always thought of myself as, I want to be remembered as a person who plays rugby league and who has played rugby league for their nation. But I think reflecting on what I had learned in that conference was, I want to be a lot more than that. I want to be someone who helped change the women's space within the Pacific Nations, not just a footy player who played for their country.
Yes, and that was from Dan Hasler, and he said you could relate that to all aspects of your life. So what do you want to be remembered for? You can relate to that to your footy, to your life away from footy. Now let's move on to the NRLW. Any news around signings or injuries?
Not too much news within the NRLW space. At the moment, there still are a lot of positions up for grabs for women coming through the ranks. But in saying that, the Queensland competition will kick off on the 2nd of March. I know a lot of teams ended up playing trial matches this weekend. So we saw North Devils played their trial match against Wynnum over the weekend. North had an incredible win, 20 points to 12. It was a close match, but it will definitely give both teams some confidence and some tips on what they need to work on prior to the competition kicking off. We've also seen within that space, Aneta Nuasala relocate and move to Brisbane to sign with the North Devils. So they'll definitely be getting, a powerhouse forward in their pack. Along with that, South Logan Magpies took on the Brisbane Tigers for their first trial game. The Magpies walked away with a very comfortable win, but I definitely think that it is something that the Tigers will also learn from. They have Shannon Marto now in that side. She was away at the conference. So I think another powerhouse middle to go into the Brisbane Tigers pack will be incredible for them. So also in representative rugby league, the Lisa Fiola Cup and Tasha Gale Cup both kicked off on the weekend. I know a lot of women from the conference actually ended up going out to support both of those competitions. Tiana Pentani went out to represent the Sharks. Within those competitions, there were some great games. The Penrith Panthers within the Lisa Fiola Cup proved a massive point, winning 40 points to nil over the Dragons. Bethany To'o, sister of Brian To'o, had an incredible game. And there was definitely a lot of other girls who really showed their potential in what it could take to become an NRLW player.
Who do you guys have first?
We play Tweed, Sea Eagles, in our home ground. So it'll be great. We don't have to, I guess, travel. I'm super excited. The girls went away while I was at the conference for a training camp across the Friday to Sunday, and I've heard such great things, so looking forward to it. But in saying that, the Tweed Seagulls have a lot of great signings themselves. They've got Taryn Aiken. She's an incredible half. If you're familiar with women's footy, she is someone moving quickly up those ranks. And alongside her, Tweed Seagulls also have Jamie Chapman and the likes of Olivia Koenig and Ash Quinlan, both proud Māori women.
Oh, exciting there on the rugby league front. Moving over to rugby union, what news do you have for us there?
So all teams in the Super W have been preparing really hard for their pre-season ahead. We've seen a trial match played over the weekend with the Brumbies taking on Hong Kong China rugby. It was a great game ahead of their season. So the Brumbies walked away with a win, 33 points to 19, but I think that will give them a little confidence going into the pre-season Super W competition. But in other news, Rugby Australia, Oceania Rugby and World Rugby have partnered with the Australian government to develop the Pinina Pacifica rugby team. This team will play in that pre-season Super W competition. It is a great game changer. The momentum has been built from the Fijiana Drua taking out those championship titles, and that helped establish this team to compete in that competition. So the team will be made up of the best up-and-coming rugby talents across the Pacific nations, and it will also give a lot of Pacifica women the opportunity to showcase their abilities and also potentially earn themselves a spot within Super W. So another great platform for more women in the Pacifica regions.
I'm loving these opportunities that the Pacifica people are getting to play in front of in rugby league and rugby union outside of their Pacific countries.
Yeah, definitely. I think the growth within the Pacific nations, they've definitely realised that there is a lot of talent there that they can pick from, really. And I obviously hope that there is a potential to then take things back to those Pacific nations as well.
Yeah, I think that's the big one. It's nice to have the pathways. It's a start where they get to go and hopefully pick up a contract with the Brumbies or with the Western Force Waratahs. But hopefully now, like, you know what, the funding could be there where they just end up being professionals within their own nations, within their own country, and be able to compete from there. And that experience from people traveling from Australia to the islands, they get to experience that as well. So I think that's probably the next piece of the puzzle. Yeah. But anything else, Shelley, just to, before we wrap it up, do you have anything else that you can add? Positional change for yourself?
Well, I feel like I'm moving in. You know what they say, the older you get, the more you move into the middle. And I think potentially this season, I may be moving in more.
Ooh.
So
into the front row that far in or just one position in?
Oh, I'm not that old, you know.
Well, what are you saying about your partner then?
So a fast back rower or is it centre? You know what? Let's keep it a surprise. And then
yep, I'm going to keep it a surprise.
Okay, when the team gets announced, you will let us know then where you'll be playing.
Yeah, that's it. In 2 weeks' time, when we play, Mackay Cutters will play their trial match against Rockhampton. You'll find out then.
Love it.
Well, let's finish on that note then. That's outstanding. Shelley, thank you so much for your time. We look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thanks, guys. Looking forward to it.
Nijan Footy with Sam and T.
Big T.
Yes, I know, mate, I know.
Well, let us introduce the segment before we get into what you told me off air just now. So it's a bit of a shock.
Give us an intro.
It's a bit of a shock. Well, we have a new segment and it's called Culture Shock. It's all about learning more about the Pacific brothers and sisters. And I got it off to a flying start last week, counting in Tongan, Samoan, Tok Pigeon.
No, you didn't.
Why?
I spoke to our guys down at Nija Daily.
And what did they say?
Jacob and Michael, and they both said that was a bad effort.
You know that crew that you've got, when I see them in Brisbane, I want to knock on their door and then It's three men enter, one man leave. That's how we're going to do it. I'm going to sort this out because I'm sick of that little Nisha Daily posse that you've got going on over there.
It's called honest feedback. And yeah, they say that yours wasn't great, but
let's move it. Let's move to you. If we're going to be honest, let's be honest about the task that you were set last week.
All right, I'll be totally honest. As you can hear my voice, it's been a rough night last night. Do you know how hot it was? And no aircon, the fan, and then you wake up with no sleep. You have to go training with your wife. I had these lolly lays that you challenged me to make.
Yep.
And I had a really nice one too. It has the white.
Well, hang on, let me get this bucket here for all these excuses that you're throwing in there.
White and blue ribbons, and it took me ages to make it as well because we had to make over 60 of them, and I managed to steal one just for you. But I put it in the fridge because, like I said, it was hot.
Money's not going
to
melt.
I didn't want it to melt. These chocolates, there was a wide range of chocolates and lollies, and then, yeah, I left it in the fridge. But
so here you are throwing stones, carrying on. Like a secondhand lawnmower.
But I did.
But you forgot.
What we will do is share a bit of the background of the lolly lay.
All right, let's get into it. Talk to me.
In Samoa, they call it ula lolly. In Tongan, they call it
Kahoa lolly.
Kahoa lolly. And I believe we just call it lolly lay in the Cook Islands. You know, it's an act of welcome and respect. Also recognizing someone's achievements and success, you know, that you'll see them at the graduations or grand finals. I remember when you come to the Cook Islands or you go to Rarotonga, you come off the plane and there were flower lays, not the lolly ones, the flower ones. So over in New Zealand, Australia, you don't get the privilege to go and pick some flowers. So they've expanded that to making lolly lays, and some extremists will put cans of corned beef or packets of chips on their lolly lays. A lot of effort that goes into making them.
Well, talk to me. How did you make it?
Well, because we had to make over 60 of them, it was a family event at the Aroma household where my mum, my dad, my sister, my wife and myself all sat around the table and had the system going where so we done glad wrap. You roll the glad wrap out, put 12 lollies and chocolates, and then you'd roll them up, and then you have to tie between each chocolate the ribbons. The last night before we went to the conference, me and my wife curled the bands. One of my favorite ones that I've seen, though, was end of last year's grand final, the Penrith Panthers, when they won, and then they had that real nice lay. Now, I don't know if you could see the ribbons, but you could just tell it took a lot of effort and time and patience to make them ones because it was real neat. There wasn't things flying about. But it was all color coordinated as well, and then they had them on every player. So I remember seeing it on Ivan and Nathan Cleary.
Yeah, I saw that at the end. On that, I guess my favorite one. This is the overboard ones. When I saw Isaiah Katoa when he made his debut for Tonga, or it might have been the Dolphins. Actually, you couldn't even see his head. Like there were that many lays. It was lays or kahoa lole on top of each other, and he couldn't even see. So that was my favorite one. Sounds very special. Sounds worth it, but it's not in front of me, so
I will bring it to you next week, mate.
Well, on
calm
that
down.
Well, I just don't want to hear it from you if
you know what. Because of that, I'll back up.
You want to do it again?
I'll go again.
Culture shock again.
Challenge
next week.
Me again. Culture right. Shock me again.
Next week, the Pacific Island instrument. I want you to bring one in, drums, whatever you've got. Tell us a little bit about it. Why is it significant for your culture? And then we can dive deep and make sure you don't forget it. All right, up next is our chat with Mick Byrne. This one was done a couple of weeks ago when Tinarau was off, and it was myself and Sefa chatting to the coach of the Fijian Drua.
Nisian footy.
Oh, Sef, you know, during our playing days, I would say chatting with coaches, it wasn't high on the priority list, that's for sure, but obviously no longer plays anymore. It's one of the things I love doing the most, you know, since jumping in the media space is chatting to coaches and getting to know how they think, how they operate and how they want to be better. And this coach in particular, I'm excited to talk with because he is coaching some of the most quality teams going around, the All Blacks, the Wallabies, Scotland, overseas. And now he's the current head coach for the Fijian Drua team, Mick Byrne. He's been the head coach for them for 3 years and he has kindly given up his time, joined us today on Nisian Footy. Mick, thanks so much, mate. Bula vanaka.
Bula vanaka and vanaka vakalevu for having me on.
Mate, you're all over it, mate. You're fluent now. How good?
Yeah, four words. How good?
In 3 years, it's pretty good, mate.
Yeah, impressive.
I can order meals and drinks, so that's pretty good too.
Ah, well, you can survive then, so that's the main thing.
That's it.
Hey, before we get into the coaching stuff with the Drua, I don't think too many people would know that you're actually a pretty handy AFL player back in the day, and you've won a flag with Hawthorn. You've played for the Swannies. Mate, can you give us a bit of a bit of background on your playing days of AFL, and actually how did you end up in the game they play in heaven in rugby union?
I actually grew up playing rugby. So I played rugby union and league probably from 6 to 16. And then I sort of grew a little bit tall for league, and I actually preferred league.
No surprise, Mick.
Then I just got the wrong build for league, and a mate at school just said, oh, you'd do well in our Aussie rules team. And so I went along and I did a training session there, and I really enjoyed the training. It was running and just sort of suited my makeup, really. I was a bit tall and skinny for league, but I sort of could run and jump and sort of suited me, and I really enjoyed playing. So I started playing Aussie rules. I still played league on Sundays. I used to get bashed up pretty severely, and I'd play Aussie rules on Saturday, and I was able to run away from everybody on the Saturday. So I thought, that's a better game. So, you know, fortunately, I ended up playing 15 years. Wow. But then I ended up coming back to the Swans and reconnected with a lot of my Manly rugby league guys, and they got me to come down there and start working with them back in 93. Moved into rugby union in 97, went to Scotland full-time, and then from there found my way to the All Blacks and then into the Wallabies, and finally found my home in Fiji.
Fiji and Drua. If I think back to the first year, and it seemed like a lot of learnings, especially when I think back to that game against the Brumbies down there in Canberra, and the boys had to try and exit out of there, but they didn't quite get that right, and some harsh lessons. But then you go year two, they've rectified some of those things, and they were able to complement structure and their Fijian flair. Like, what's it been like for you to take on this job as the Fijian Drua head coach and try and implement some systems that you talked about now, but also still having that Fijian flair so they don't lose their DNA?
Yeah, wow, you brought back some shuddering memories there.
Sorry, mate.
I still toss and turn night over some of those days. Look, I knew when I took over this team, you know, I'd coached a lot of Fijian boys, and I know how naturally they play the game. But we've always had them on the edge of our plays where they finish stuff, and, you know, so I've got tight head props that throw the ball around like loose forwards or outside backs, you know, and I think if you think back to the World Cup, I think it might have been against Georgia when the tight head prop does a quick tap to himself and takes off, and then he gets turned over at the next ruck, and then Georgia go all the way down and nearly score a try down the other end. That sort of natural flair in our players is enormous, but it's very frustrating when the wrong players try to do it in the wrong parts of the field. So the biggest thing was helping our players understand the difference between having 15 guys playing sevens rugby to having 15 guys playing 15s rugby. And it wasn't that they were doing the wrong thing, or it wasn't that they were not doing what we're asking. It was just instinct. That's how they do it, you know. And I learned a lot when I came and lived here, started living here last July. As you go down the beach and, you know, you get down there and they play no-touch rugby, and there's 20 or 30 guys on the beach, you know, 15 a side playing no-touch rugby. That ball does not stop moving. And if that's what they've done all their life, and then you put them onto a rugby field. Now, in sevens, it can be no-touch rugby, can't it? It can be one-on-one, throw the ball, offload, stand in the tackle, throw it out, play and do that stuff. But in 15s, you do the little offload out the back and there's another defender ready to go smash because they're only 2 metres apart. They're only 3 metres apart. So our players have to learn that, use our natural talent, footwork, strong carries, clean out, get around over the ball. Let's throw it out. Let's go again. Clean out. Strong carries. And it took us a little while, and we're still not there, you know, and I don't want to ever lose the flair. But when you sit down and explain to the guys about the game of 15s, doesn't matter what team you're in, and I've been fortunate enough to be in some good teams, the best we've ever been able to stick to what we said we were going to do is about 60%. So we've trained for the week. We go out there. We've got our lineouts. We've got our scrums. We've got our restarts. We only ever execute to about 60% of what we said we were going to do. That's how it works. The other 40%, we get the ball from a knock-on. We get it from an overthrown line-out. We're lucky enough, we get it from a turnover scrum. Or we might get it from our line out that's a poor delivery to nine and nine carries it in, and then suddenly we're just doing something that we didn't plan for. And that's 40% of the game. And what I do now is I just say, you guys, that's your guy. That's you. You just do. You play your no-touch rugby in that 40%. But in the 60%, which sounds nearly only, it's nearly half the game, you only have to stay with us for half the game. The other half of the game's going to go your way. And then I'm not going to tell you how to play that game. No one in their right mind is going to try and teach you how to play that game. When the game opens up a bit, then we can start to play. And they enjoy that. They actually starting to really see the value in becoming a physical team and being able to become a team that overwhelms the opposition in that set-piece part of the game. It's not something they've ever done before, but they're actually quite excited by it now, and it's showing we're getting better.
And you obviously understand the way the Fijians play their rugby. Is that maybe I can imagine you had so many offers as a coach to take on a head coaching position. What really appealed to you to take on the Fiji draw?
Oh, I think exactly what you're saying. In all the head coaching roles you take, one with a development focus was always probably going to be an easier one for me to move into, because all the way through rugby I've been developing players and working in development. When I started with the All Blacks, we started with the age grade sides and started developing them, and the skill sets didn't really kick into the All Blacks until 2008. So coming into a role that required us to go back and do a lot of that skill set development was a comfortable role for me. Sure, I had a lot to learn around management. I guess my first year in rugby, I learned a hell of a lot about the playing group, and because it was the Fijian playing group, and how to let them find their way and not be too down on them, not to be too hard on them. And I learned valuable lessons in my first, few weeks of training. Because they're so respectful for the environment and the hierarchical part of the environment, that if you respect them and you give them credit and give them education and allow them to falter and make mistakes without coming down on them, they grow. And that was my big learning curve working with them. And I think back to, working with Fijian boys in the All Blacks, when I started working with Rocks and City. If you sat down with them one-on-one and helped them understand what you were trying to get to and gave them a chance to go, well, hang on, I don't really understand what you're saying, because they do such a great job, but English is their second language. You've got to respect, even though they speak English well, and sitting down one-on-one and giving them a chance to say, hang on, without the thought of embarrassment, without the thought of belittling them in front of a group, just allow them to say, hang on, I don't know what you mean. And then you talked them through it one-on-one. And so that was a good learning for me. When I was with the All Blacks, I may have had three or four Fijian boys around the program. When I was with the Wallabies, I had three or four. I've come here, I've got 47. So there's some really good things having 47 Fijians, and there's some real challenges having 47 Fijians.
It's a really good insight to what you've just said there, Mick, around the embarrassment factor. Not publicly shaming any of the players and losing their self-esteem, because once you've earned the respect of Pacifica players, Fijian players, they've got your back no matter what. And do you feel that now, year three coming in, is the group that tight now where you've got them in the right place to be able to build even further?
Yes, absolutely. We had a great week last week, and we pushed them way beyond anything they've done before. You count the first year as a pre-season. We didn't start till the middle of November. So we didn't really get to know each other. We didn't really have a solid pre-season because some of our boys had done nothing from October, November 2020, and when they came to us in November 21 because of COVID. And so we've only had really one solid pre-season. And, some of our boys are lifting stronger than they've ever lifted. They're running better times than they've ever run. Their agility, their jump, their power jumps in the gym, best they've ever done. But then, you see what the Hurricanes boys or the Blues are doing or the Crusaders are doing, and you think, we're not there. And so the reality is our players are the best they've ever been, and they're still only around about 70% of where the New Zealand players are, around gym stuff, fitness, strength, speed.
Man, I'm watching some of those games live over in Fiji and just think, man, if they're only at 65%, I can't wait to see what the future holds for the Drua, because it's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I tell you what, Mick, you know, you've proven before that you can have all those scores, but when it comes to playing in Fiji, it all goes out the window in that humidity and when the crowd gets behind their team. So a couple of things. How do you get those away wins? We know how the Fijian Drua can win in Fiji. How do you get those away wins?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. It's a great question. And it was a question put to me by the board as well, mate. So, and it's a legitimate question. Looking through Super Rugby, I've said to our boys, let's not jump at shadows. A lot of teams struggle for away wins. Okay, so we're not the only team, but there's a big difference between our performances home and away. That's for me is the issue. I think one of the things that we're looking at is just our professionalism around our preparation. When we go to an away game, we've usually come off a pretty good home win. Then we go away and we have a really poor game, and then our Monday preparation for our home game is awesome. And I just think that it's just learning. Young players, we have a great win, like the Crusaders, for example. We came in on the Monday to prepare to go to Brisbane. We were poor. The work around the computers, the gym, starting the gym, just a little bit slack, trying to get the players, come on, let's go, come on, get ready. You know, they just wasn't there. And we went away and we got dusted by the Reds and we got showed up by the Highlanders. And then we came back here on the Monday and we're like, boys, it's unacceptable. Let's get our heads down, get professional, start working again, get your homework done, get your bone-deep preparation going, and let's see what happens. And we did. We had a great preparation week, and we came out, and that first 20 minutes against Rebels was probably our best 20 minutes of the year. Yes, it's at home, but there was that element of preparation. You know, we prepared that week really well. We prepared poorly for Brisbane. Coming off a good win, and coming on the Monday and going again. And that's our big challenge this year, and that's what we set ourselves. How do we get better? Is after a good weekend, we come in and we prepare as well as we can. And I think that's a learning for us.
You spoke about the Fijian way and trying to coach that. And we're talking about high-performance talent, and there's plenty of talent around Fiji. What's your approach when you're watching these young kids run around in no shoes? Like, what kind of talent are you looking for? Are you looking for the kid who can glide, or the kid who can actually get a good catch when a pass is thrown to him, or the way he's maybe attacking those kicks? Like, do you have a different approach to what you'd have at different countries when you're in Fiji?
Sometimes you go and watch the young kids in Scotland or Australia or New Zealand, and you see some kids do things that other players can't do, and you go, oh, that stands out. In those countries, the kids have grown up playing rugby. They've learned how to clear the rucks, play the rucks, you know, do that sort of stuff, and they work. When you come here, you watch the games, and you're like, everyone's doing things that not many kids can do. So,
that's so true. Like,
Which one do you take?
Which one do you take? I look for the guy that's looking for work. I look for the kid who's coming through, who gets up off the ground quickly and goes back and gets back and looks for more work. Because there's a lot of kids here that have got that talent, yeah, that can throw that offload, can hit the deck and bounce up and can make big hits. What I'm looking for is the guys, after they've done something, they're willing to get up and get back involved.
Yeah.
And that's somebody that we can bring into a professional environment. And he might not have the great pass or the tackle, but if he's prepared to get up and get back involved here, he's a chance to come in and be part of it. Yes, we've got some naturally gifted players, but it's more the work ethic guys, the guys that are prepared to go again and get up and go again and get up and go again for Super Rugby. Those that don't make it, and I don't want this, I know you said this is going to go around the world, I don't want this to be disrespectful to the French, or, but they take a lot of our outside backs, so it's a different scenario, you know. And those guys, all they want those guys to score tries. So they can have the one-off effort. You know, they can have the one-off effort and come back and grab a breather and go again and come back. And in Super Rugby, it's a different level. I'm not saying it's better. I'm just saying in Super Rugby, you can't have one-off efforts, because the teams that win the competition here are repeating efforts, repeating efforts, repeating efforts. Does it stand up under World Rugby and the World Cups? Well, it does all right. It does all right, the repeating efforts game. That's Super Rugby. And it holds up under pressure. So we've got to find players that are able to repeat their efforts for 80 minutes. lesser concern for let's go and find it some kids that have got some of this talent. They've all got it. Look, some of them are trapped in big front row or bodies. You know, you see them do well. You know, they're trapped in the body. They can't do much about it. But, yeah, so for me when I'm watching, I'm just looking for who are the guys that are looking for to do the extra effort.
No, Mick, it's a breath of fresh air watching them play and what you've done with that group with Glenn Jackson and everyone involved there. You got to really take your hat off to what you're doing and because you've given a lease on life here in rugby in the Southern Hemisphere. So we'll wrap up there and we just want to thank you so much for your time. We're looking forward to the upcoming season. Hopefully you can implement all those changes that you're looking for in those away wins.
We know our target's 10 wins. We got 6 last year. We've got to keep those 6 and we've got to find 4 more. If it's not in 2024, you know, I really have a lot of confidence it'll definitely be in 2025.
Beautiful, Mick. Nice. Thank you so much, mate. And I'll catch you over in Fiji.
Thank you, Mick. Okay,
thanks, man.
Nation knowledge.
Yes, my favourite time of the show, Nation knowledge. We always save it for last. And the score is 1-0 to Sammy Boy.
Yes, there it is. Take a photo.
It's uncommon. It is very uncommon. But like we said, 3 questions, a past history kind of question, a question around the more current and present days, and then one out-of-the-box question. So I'll start with the past. Now, what position did the Fijian drawer finish in the 2017 NRC season, the National Rugby Championship?
The NRC. So as in like, because they won the grand final that year, so before...
In 2017, they won the grand final. Is that your answer? First?
Yeah, they beat the Force.
So that's your answer first?
Yeah, first.
Nah, they come third.
But did they win it that year?
Their first year of competition in NRC, the drawer won 4 out of 8 games. Winning 3 of their first 4 games, they lost the semi-final to Queensland Country 57-21.
And they won the year after.
Yeah, they won the year after.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's all right.
Not bad, not bad. Yeah. You're close. Second question.
Hey!
So, recently, the North Queensland Cowboys coach, Todd Payton, had replaced co-captains Chad Townsend and Tongan legend Jason Taumalolo with who for the 2024 season?
Who's the kid that made his origin debut? What's his name, the halfback? Oh, it's bugging me. You know, I just don't know his name, but he made his debut for Queensland. Drinkwater?
Oh, Drinkwater plays for Cowboys.
Scotty Drinkwater.
Is that your...
That's one. And Tom Dearden.
Tom Dearden and Ruben Cotter.
Oh, Ruben Cotter.
You got half a point. I'll give you half a point, mate.
Oh, okay. Tom Dearden.
Not bad. Not bad at all. And Drinky's actually, I reckon he's got potential to be a captain as well. 0.5. Damn, not bad. Potter. That's good. So last question. Okay, this is a good one because you know your body, right?
I hope so. I think so.
Where would you find the gastrocnemius on your body?
My gastroc is my calf.
So where would you find it on your body?
At the back of my leg, behind my shin.
Great work, mate. Yeah, that's correct.
1.5. I know my anatomy, actually.
I'll give you extra half a point. I'll give you a half a point if you can spell gastrocnemius.
Nah. Oh, gastroc. G-A-S-T-R-O-C. See you later.
Anyway, it's in your calf. It's a chief muscle of the calf, of the leg, which flexes the knee and the foot.
Wrap up the show for us.
1.5. Great work.
Oh, but that's it for Nation Footy. Remember, you can listen anytime to previous episodes or chats with your favourite Pacifica athletes wherever you get your podcasts.
Damn, this tattoo's going to look good on me.
Yeah, 2.5 nil. Yes!
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.